pitch to Brandon, swinging a fly ball belted left field. That's heading for the wall, and it is gone. A walk-off grand slam for Brandon Inge.
That reason alone, I believe the Blue Jays should try somebody else in the closer's spot the next time they have a save opportunity. Brandon Inge, a 130 hitter, guy who has never hit right-handers particularly well, a first-pitch grand slam off of Francisco Cordero. Who knew that when John Farrell brought in Jose Bautista to be a fifth infielder, he should have put him at the wall in left field, standing on top of it. That was the only way anything good was going to happen there. And even so, that's a sack fly to win a ball game. Blue Jays lose it 7-3 to the Oakland A's. Francisco Cordero with his third blown save of the season. The Jays with their seventh, 30 games in. And the Blue Jays fall to 16-14. Had a 3-2 lead going into the bottom of the ninth on a clutch RBI single by Kelly Johnson with two out after Eric Thames led off the ninth inning with a triple. But Michael Taylor throws his bat at an outside pitch in desperation and catches a piece of the foul line down the right field line for a leadoff double. He's bunted to third, and Cliff Pennington singles through a drawn-in infield to tie the game. Then a stolen base leads to an intentional walk. A pass ball leads to another intentional walk. And that sets up that grand slam. We're going to Jays talk it up to the bottom of the hour. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And the question we're asking is, who do you want to see on the mound the next time the Blue Jays have a save opportunity? Chris in Scarborough, who is it for you?
Probably Louis Perez.
You know, it seems to be a pretty popular answer on the Twitter tonight is Luis Perez. I'm surprised. I thought it would be Casey Jansen, maybe Jason Fraser.
I think Fraser would be my second choice. But what I wanted to talk about as well was the epic fail by John Farrell tonight.
Where did you see an epic fail by John Farrell tonight?
I mean, he got bailed out by Kelly Johnson because pinch hitting Omar Vizquel for J.P. Arencibia.
Don't you think the epic fail was by Omar Vizquel and not being able to get the bunt down?
He should have been up there in the first place, though. That's what I think.
Well, I wonder about that. I mean, if you're going to, and I don't mind playing for one run when it's the ninth inning in a tie game. Playing for one run is not so terrible by me. Grant Balfour historically has been really, really, really good against right-handed hitters, though that hasn't been the case so far this year. I didn't think it was a terrible move if you're going to squeeze, but what I thought the bigger bigger omission was with the infield in, second base was just there for the taking by Colby Rasmus. And if Rasmus steals second, then you don't have to worry about the double play ball, and you can leave JP in there to try to hit a fly ball to score that run. That's what confused me.
Did you see the shots of JP on the bench, by the way?
JP was upset when Omar didn't get the bunt down. He wasn't upset.
He didn't bat because he was pinch hit for.
Well, you would hope that he would be, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. But
do you think anybody's going to go back in the dugout and say, "Oh, that's how awesome is this that they pinch hit for me in the ninth?"
No, but it was like I was surprised at how livid he was. I mean, he was like, at one point he like clenched both his fists together and like.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was after the bunt was popped up.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris. I want to get to as many callers as we can tonight. John Farrell did not pop up that bunt. Angelo is in Brampton. Who would you like to see close the next time the Blue Jays get the chance?
Mike, that is my question. I just want to know why Farrell keep insisting that Cordero can save the game. While we have Jansen and even Luis Perez can do the job. Cordero cannot even find the strike zone. I'll hang up the phone and listen to your comment.
Okay, I didn't think he had an issue finding the strike zone. He had two strikes on Taylor, and then there was a bunt, and then the single, and those walks were intentional, though one of them was with a 3-0 count, it's true. When he did find the strike zone, good things did not happen. He didn't answer the question, though. The reason I think that John Farrell keeps going with Francisco Cordero is the reason that he's given in the past, is that Cordero's the guy who's done it before. And that line of thinking, I think, only goes so far. Yes, he's done it before. He is most assuredly not doing it now. and he's a veteran. And as a veteran, he deserves a little bit of rope. And I think he's gotten that little bit of rope. And I think the Blue Jays were at the end of it. Well, they should be at the end of it. Kevin is in Aurora. Kevin, who do you want to see next time the Jays get a chance to close?
Well, judging by the logic that you and I think are on the same track here, or pardon me, that Mr. Farrell and I are on the same track with experience, it leads me to believe that it would be Casey Jansen or Jason Frazier, considering they've been there more often than anyone else.
Well, Frazier, for sure, has been a closer. Jansen never really has.
I'm speaking in terms of been in the major leagues as long. No one's been in the major leagues as long as Cordero, maybe next to Omar Vizquel.
That's
but,
right.
They've all been there a while. And also, you stole my thunder a little earlier when I was just going to call and question why John Farrell didn't steal Rasmus in the ninth inning. I was so confused, like you said, with the infield so drawn in. It just seemed like such an easy decision to let him move up and then Aaron Sebia try to just swing the bat.
It did really look like they were handing Colby Rasmus second base. And I was looking and looking, and when's he going to go? When's he going to go? Nothing. And I don't know if he couldn't get a good read or if they wanted him to stay put. I'm not sure. But yeah, I think that would have changed things a great deal. You can leave J.P. Arencibia in that situation. And all he needs is a fly ball, and he's good at that. Yeah, that's the thing I didn't get.
Well, perhaps... Perhaps it didn't matter in the end, considering the grand slam that overtook the one run or two runs.
Well, but if Rasmus does steal the base, then Johnson's single scores two. So things are different, but you never know. And I'll ask Colby about that tomorrow, and I'll ask John Farrell about that tomorrow as well. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate the call. We go to Dave in Vancouver. Dave, who do you want to see on the mound the next time the Blue Jays have a save opportunity?
A, B, C. Anybody but Cordero. You know, as you point out, it's one game out of 162, but it's 25% of the games being blown thanks to this guy. You know, it's all very fine for Farrell.
Not thanks to this guy.
Well,
this guy has three blown saves.
Not done the job. You know, the bottom line is that Farrell has stuck with this guy. He obviously doesn't have any anymore. He's serving batting practice up there. Does this remind you of Mike Saunders in the extra innings, a grand slam? Plus, he gave another home run to him. And he also had two strikes.
Luis Perez gave up the grand slam to Michael Saunders, not Francisco Cordero.
Okay, but he did give up the home run, and he had two strikes on a guy hitting 163. He cannot throw that third strike. You just wonder how long it's going to go. You know, at one point there, I thought when Farrell actually came out, I saw the arm go, and I was, great, we got somebody in the bullpen. But no, he went to the five-man infield. Now, these are the type of games that are really demoralizing, because you've got your two guys that are being studs, and Morrow and Romero. Now you got to go for Romero tomorrow. You're on a bit of a losing streak here, and I know it's a rebuilding year, but we saw this crap last year with Francisco Rose. So I think, yeah, I mean, I'm starting to wonder if this Farrell is related to Brian Burke with the same type of stubbornness. This is Bush. This is upsetting, to put it mildly, to Jays fans. Fortunately, I guess a lot of them probably went to bed out here. I had to watch that in the ninth inning, to watch Cordero break down again. I'm sorry, this guy's not in the closer role again for the rest of the season. He's gone. That's what I would be doing.
All right, Dave, thank you. Appreciate your vintage. And you know what? If a lot of people in Toronto went to bed, they are going to have a rude awakening, unfortunately. John is in Toronto. John, you're going to be the last one on the Blue Jays talk, so make it good. The question is, who do you want to see the next time the Blue Jays have a save opportunity?
Well, the interesting thing is, I have a couple of questions on it, because, you know, you hear Alex Anthopoulos, basically, on the morning show today, giving the indication, you know, that he's still going to close because he has experience and all that, and he's done it in the past. And even though he doesn't throw as hard now, he's, you know, we could still use him because he did it in the past. But the reason why he had 385 saves or whatever it was, because he threw then 95, 96 miles an hour. And if you saw, even on the first batter with Michael Taylor, he was trying to finish him off with about three pitches, and finally on the third pitch, you know, he hit the double. But, you know, he doesn't, you know, I mean, there were 29 other clubs that had the opportunity to give him a closer's job in the offseason, even though he had 37 this past year, and they all...
Well, that's not fair or accurate. I mean, every free agent that signed with everybody, there were 29 other clubs that could have signed that guy. Oh, you're gone. You're gone because we're out of time. I'm sorry. But the Francisco Cordero, it certainly wasn't a case of nobody wanted him and the Blue Jays just wound up with him. But what we've seen is a guy who doesn't throw hard anymore, which we knew, but it's also a guy who's not getting by with the stuff with which he got by last season when he had an incredible year for the Cincinnati Reds despite not throwing hard anymore. Tonight was just terrible. Walk-off grand slam by Brandon Inge. The A's beat the Blue Jays 7-3. We will check the scoreboard and get you set up for the series finale Wednesday afternoon. It is the Blue Jays Talk on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at the Oakland Coliseum, the Blue Jays lose it 7-3 to the A's on a walk-off grand slam by Brandon Inge. Francisco Cordero with his third blown save in a row. Check the scoreboard quickly. The Yankees beat Tampa 5-3, so they jump a half game ahead of the Blue Jays for third in the East. Kansas City over Boston 6-4. Texas beat Baltimore 10-3. Four home runs and 8 RBIs for Josh Hamilton. Scott Diamond of Guelph, Ontario throws 7 innings of 4-hit shutout as the Minnesota Twins beat the Angels by a score of 5-0. This series will wrap up Wednesday afternoon. We're on the air at 3:30 Eastern time for a 3:37 first pitch. Brandon Morrow, who hasn't given up a run in each of his last two starts, is up against Oakland righty Tyson Ross, 1-2. Join us, won't you? You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, the absent Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunt, I'm Mike Wilner. Good morning from Oakland.